Welcome to the Hall of Shadows.
Hungry, written by Christina Rocco, narrated by Sal Santarelli. 3 more hours. Heather rolled her eyes as she looked at the grease-stained clock hanging on the wall. She had only been working at the deli for a month, and she already had had enough. Her feet and back were horribly sore, but the physical discomfort was nothing compared to the pain of her wounded ego. Instead of starting her own company like she had planned, Heather was spending her days buttering bagels and slicing cold cuts next to Cassidy, a 21-year-old girl who was as lazy as she was beautiful. Eric, the manager, had asked the pretty young thing to update the menu prices on the chalkboards above the register, but she still hadn't done it. Heather sighed and made her way up the ladder, her knees creaking with each shaky step. Trying to maintain her balance, she added the new numbers, all of them ridiculously higher. It was no secret. The recession was in full swing and everyone was struggling to survive. Heather heard a loud, dry cough coming from a customer standing at the counter below. She looked down at Cassidy, who, as usual, was staring at her phone while playing with the emerald heart pendant of her necklace. Heather angrily popped off the ladder, ready to channel her resentment into a lecture about proper cold etiquette. She stopped. There in front of her stood a man dressed in an old, dirty brown trench coat. His white, uncombed hair jetted out from beneath a black beanie hat, and his eyes glanced toward the floor. From his outward appearance and unpleasant odor, Heather figured he was a homeless man from Gabardine Street. She had never seen him here before, but tents were popping up along the sidewalk like roses sprouting through a rain-kissed garden. Her irritation was quickly replaced with a heavy heart and a silent tongue. Before she could greet the man, Eric came out with a large brown paper bag in hand. The handles had been tied and the top of the bag stapled. He gave the bag to the poor man, who in turn graciously nodded and limped out of the deli. Eric pulled Heather aside and told her to expect the man every Friday at 3 o'clock. There was always food left over at the end of the week, which he wished to donate to the man and his homeless companions. However, Heather was instructed not to deal with him directly. Eric would personally handle it, since she already had enough to do. Heather didn't take her boss for the generous type, but praised him for his act of charity. He nervously smiled and disappeared back into the kitchen. 2 weeks had passed, and Heather continued to have her weekly sighting of the man. Each time, the same procedure. On the third Friday, she walked into the refrigerator to pull a fresh carton of eggs. When she opened the door, she saw a brown paper bag, just like the one given to the old man each week. This one seemed to be leaking from the bottom corner, drops of dark liquid pooling beneath it. Heather approached the bag and began untying the handles, hoping to fix the issue before the man's arrival. But before she could open it, the bag was pulled from her hands.
"What did I tell you about this?"
Eric snapped. Heather was ready to rip her apron off and stuff it down the man's throat. But she reminded herself of the pile of overdue bills decorating her kitchen table and refrained. Eric paused and deeply inhaled. He apologized for his behavior, informing Heather that Cassidy had quit and he was now tasked with finding a replacement. Heather pretended to sympathize, but was secretly overjoyed at the thought of never seeing the entitled little princess ever again. In Cassidy's absence, working at the deli wasn't nearly as unbearable. The following Friday, the man came in at the designated hour, but on this particular afternoon, a black leather glove fell out of his coat pocket onto the floor as he left. It was a bitterly cold day, and she worried he might not have another pair. Compelled to help this unfortunate soul, she picked up the glove and started following him down the street.
"Sir? Hello?"
The man kept walking. Perhaps he was deaf, she thought, an injured vet. It made her even more furious about his current state. Heather tried to walk a little faster as they both rounded the corner. She was surprised. He was walking in the opposite direction of Gabardine Street. After a few blocks, the man stopped and pulled a key out of his pocket. The locks of a shiny, black luxury sedan sounded and its trunk swung open. The man threw his coat into the trunk, revealing beneath it a cream-colored sweater and designer jeans. He removed wireless earbuds from his ears, pulled his hair back into a small ponytail, and entered the driver's side. As Heather watched the man pull away, her mind was overrun with questions. She struggled to find a logical explanation. Maybe he was an undercover police officer, or a reporter working on an exposé of some kind. But one thing was for certain, he was not who he was pretending to be. For the next 7 days, Heather was consumed by curiosity. So on the following Friday, she decided to call in sick and parked her car behind a dumpster in the deli's back parking lot. When she saw the homeless man exit, she followed him back to his car. Careful to stay one or two cars away, Heather followed him onto the highway, and after driving 3 exits, they both got off and drove a series of narrow winding roads. Finally, they arrived at a large brick mansion set atop a hill. She watched the car roll up the driveway and slowly disappear into the garage. Heather suddenly found herself the protagonist of quite an exciting mystery. As would any good detective, she decided to just sit and watch. After an hour, she finally saw the man leave the house and walk to his mailbox. He looked up from the pile of mail in his hand and glanced across the street, right in the direction of Heather's car. He waved.
"Shit!"
Heather shrieked. She ducked down to hide behind her steering wheel, but when she rose, the man was standing outside her door. Heather slowly opened her eyes to the sight of red filigree wallpaper drenched in the soft glow of a hanging candelabra. She was laying on the floor tied to a chair.
"Well, look who's ready to join us," a man's voice spoke, followed by a crowd of laughter.
It was the man with the ponytail. He walked over to Heather, pulled her chair upright, and placed her at the head of the long dining room table. As her eyes came into focus, Heather could see 8 horribly decrepit men and women seated to her left and right, their white sagging skin pulled from their jaw and cheekbones, and their frail, bony fingers curled around the stems of their wine glasses. They stared at Heather with dark, sunken eyes, smiling at her with their thin-lipped, dusty mouths. It was as if this was a gathering of corpses that, despite the very laws of nature, had refused to acknowledge their own deaths. The man with the ponytail placed a brown paper bag in front of Heather. It was just like the one from the deli. He looked down at Heather, untying the rope around her wrists.
"Go on, open it. That's why you are here, isn't it?"
Heather slowly untied the handles and removed the staples, pulling out a large white container. She carefully removed the lid. It appeared to be a stew of some kind. Cuts of beef floating alongside potatoes and vegetables in a brown gravy. The dinner guests leaned in, audible grumbles of anticipation churning in their stomachs.
"Eat."
The man placed a silver spoon on the table. Heather pursed her lips together and looked towards the floor.
"Eat!"
He slammed his fist on the table. Heather picked up the spoon and filled it from the container. She slowly brought it to her mouth, broth spilling from the shake in her hand. Her horror was replaced with surprise. It was the most delicious thing she had ever tasted. The meat was so tender, so flavorful that the hair on her neck and arms stood up. Her taste buds overloaded by this savory delight. She took another spoonful and another until she bit into something hard. She removed the object from her mouth to inspect it. It was a small charm. Heather recognized it immediately as Cassidy's emerald heart pendant.
"I'm sorry," the host interjected. "Eric is usually more careful about these things, and I certainly pay him enough. Though I am glad to see you finally enjoying your coworker."
The group laughed. Heather felt a sudden wave of nausea.
"Now we all eat."
A butler entered the dining room, delivering each of the guests a silver plate of the heavenly stew. Heather watched them devour their meals. With each bite, their chalky skin grew pink and soft, and their eyes filled with the color of their youth. Their backs straightened, their shoulders and chests rising towards the ceiling. The dead smell in the air had lifted, and the room was now filled with the aroma of honey and fresh flowers. Heather tried to run, forgetting that her legs were still tied to the chair. She fell to the ground. The man with the ponytail knelt beside her. His hair was now jet black, and his face was that of a 30-year-old man.
"No need to be afraid or ashamed," he reassured her with his warm smile and piercing green eyes. "Everyone has doubts at first. But look."
The man held a mirror to Heather's face. The wrinkles around her eyes and forehead had completely disappeared. She looked exactly like she did in high school. The years of heartbreak and disappointment had melted away, revealing her once beautifully youthful face. Her back and knees were free of pain, and her breaths deep and full. In this moment, she felt she could do anything, be anything. She felt absolutely limitless. I'd say the benefits far outweigh the negatives. Don't you agree, Heather? Heather! Heather! Eric called. Let's go! Cassidy needs a hand on the grill. Heather woke from her daydream and excused herself. An hour later, she left and decided to drive down to Gabardine Street. There, on the sidewalk, sat the homeless man, eating a sandwich from a brown paper bag. Heather thought she would feel relief, but mostly she felt sad. She desperately wished for a way to slip back into the alternate universe she had created for them both. A world of warm beds and second chances, even at a cost. Because sometimes, the real nightmares are the ones we live every day.
Hall of Shadows is produced by Michael J. Rocco. Directed by Christina and Michael J. Rocco. For Apparacity, we bid you good night.